Blog Talk Radio.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. A lack of progress towards climate goals is claiming lives and slowing down the global fight against poverty, hunger, and deadly diseases, according to the UN World Meteorological Organization, WMO. The agency's United in Science report shows how climate science and early warnings can save lives and livelihoods, advance food and water security, clean energy, and better health, boosting efforts to achieve all of the Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, of which only 15% are on track at the midway point of the 2030 agenda. After recent deadly flooding in Libya that has claimed thousands of lives, WMO Secretary General Petteri Tallis highlighted the UN's initiative aiming to ensure that everyone on Earth is protected from extreme weather events through early warning systems by the end of 2027. Currently, half of the countries worldwide lack such systems, and Professor Tallis warned that in Sudan, conflict has crippled capacity to forecast hazards.
I met the Sudan Met Service director last week in Nairobi, and she told that most of the people have escaped Khartoum, and they are not able to forecast this kind of high-impact weather events anymore.
Exemptions from sanctions on humanitarian grounds need to be much more clearly defined to deliver life-saving medication, food, and aid in emergencies, UN Rights Chief Volker Turk said on Thursday. He told the Human Rights Council about the negative impact on human rights and sustainable development of sanctions imposed by countries unilaterally. Such measures include trade embargoes or a block on foreign investment to force the targeted country to change policy. An example is the long-standing United States trade embargo against Cuba, which for decades has been the object of UN General Assembly resolutions demanding an end to the measures. The UN Rights Chief said that any sanctions need to be limited in time, compliant with international law, and subject to appropriate human rights safeguards, including independent monitoring. Countries should suspend or lift any unilateral coercive measures that have a detrimental effect on human rights and which are aggravating humanitarian needs, Mr. Turk said. Sanctions that threaten people's lives and health need to be halted, he insisted. The first ever global charter for patient safety has been agreed at the UN after the World Health Organization, WHO, warned that unsafe care causes 3 million deaths a year. The new charter enshrines the right to safe healthcare and urges governments to work towards this universal goal. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus stressed that patient safety was a collective responsibility requiring health systems to work hand in hand with patients, families, and communities. If it's not safe, it's not care, he said. According to the UN Health Agency, an estimated 1 in every 10 patients experiences harm during treatment. Although it is recognized that engaging with patients to understand their needs is an important strategy for reducing harm, a WHO survey shows that only 13% of countries have a patient representative on the governing board in most hospitals. Dominika Tomaszewska-Mortimer, UN News.
For radio as godless as our Constitution, tune in to Free Thought Radio.
We commemorate Margaret Sanger and chase baptisms and Bible verses out of public schools.
Then we'll hear Will Larkin, a courageous high school student, talk about protesting Florida's Don't Say Gay law.
And their struggles as a queer student in a queer hostile state.
That's the promo for the Freedom From Religion Foundation's latest Free Thought Radio show coming up here in a few minutes after we play some a musical set and the latest headlines for Democracy Now! This is the 4,112th episode on September 15th, 2023. I'm your host, Mike Adell. I hope you are having a good day today. Now, on the second hour, somewhere, buried in the second hour, I'll probably play some other stuff that I've picked up, mainly about the war in Ukraine, because I feel that that is turning into a huge boondoggle, a bloody, bloody boondoggle. See, let me find a Democracy Now! While I yak with you. Coming up this Friday, or Saturday, excuse me, coming up tomorrow is an very interesting, informative podcast from Carl G. at the Kansas City Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee, KCIWOC, as they call it, loosely affiliated with the IWW, I believe, the Industrial Workers of the World. However, there's some interesting news coming up in prison strikes. It's not just strikes of workers nowadays. UAW has a lightning strike 15,000 workers in three different locations around the in the center of the United States. And the what was the other? You know, there's a union about to form for people who work and develop game videos. The UPS trucking company settled before the Teamsters could take out in a national strike just 3 weeks ago. There's all kinds of things happening, folks. Really good stuff. And I'm really happy to hear some. Here, I'll put on some music since I'm trying to have to some struggle. I'm having some struggle trying to find this. I'll be right back. live performance. I think this might be bootleg. I'm not sure if the immortal Jefferson Airplane, the other side of life. But certainly the other side of life is out there today with these strikes developing and prison strikes. If you'll learn more about tomorrow on the Abolitionist Hour, here's the latest Democracy Now! headlines.
Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The United Auto Workers has launched a historic strike against the big three U.S. automakers. At midnight, about 12,700 workers committed to a work stoppage at three locations, a GM factory in Missouri, a Stellantis complex in Ohio, and a Ford assembly plant near Detroit, Michigan. The union says up to 146,000 workers could ultimately join the strike unless auto executives end a two-tier system for wages and benefits and agree to improve pensions and working hours. Joining the picket lines was Michigan Congressmember Rashida Tlaib, whose father was a longtime assembly line worker at Ford and a UAW member.
Now we got tiers. We don't got a cost of living adjustment, which has been part of every UAW contract since 1948 until 2009 when they said, look, we'll sacrifice. We'll take a hit so we can keep you all afloat. Not that they need help to stay afloat. The big three is, you know, literally turning their backs on them. They're making record profits. It's about time to reward the very people for the reason they were even able to, again, survive, again, the Great Recession.
We'll have more on the UAW strike after headlines. In Libya, the death toll from catastrophic flooding in the coastal city of Derna soared to more than 11,000. More than 10,000 others remain missing. Al Jazeera reports the two dams that burst early Monday amidst unprecedented heavy rains were more than a half century old and had not undergone maintenance since 2002. On Thursday, the UN's World Meteorological Organization said most of the deaths could have been avoided if Libya had a normally operating meteorological service able to launch evacuations. In Phoenix, Arizona, the Maricopa County Department of Public Health reports at least 202 people died due to this year's unprecedented summer heat wave. Another 356 suspected heat-related deaths are under investigation. Nearly half the confirmed deaths were among people without permanent homes. More than 50 occurred indoors, usually when people lack air conditioning. Jeff Johnston is Maricopa County's chief medical examiner.
It's hard to ignore 31 days of above 110 degrees in a row and really shattering all of the previous records. But at the same time, it's really, really important to not lose focus on the increased number of vulnerable people in our society to these kinds of things.
In more climate news, internal documents from Exxon reveal executives, including former CEO Rex Tillerson, secretly worked to sow doubt about the severity of climate change, even as the oil giant publicly acknowledged the link between fossil fuels and the climate crisis. Tillerson would go on to become Secretary of State under former President Trump. The Wall Street Journal reports between 2006 and 2016, Exxon executives and their internal communications worked to counter the notion that humans should curtail oil and gas use to help the planet. In a statement, the Center for Climate Integrity demanded Exxon be held accountable, adding, quote, this damning new evidence of Exxon's climate lies shows for decades it's been official company policy for executives to undermine climate science, minimize the dangers of their oil and gas business, and protect company profits at all costs with no concern for the catastrophic impact their actions would have on humanity, they said. Here in New York, hundreds of climate activists blocked the entrances to Citibank's headquarters in Manhattan Thursday. At least 25 protesters were arrested. Democracy Now! Spoke to organizer Alec Conan after he was released from police custody.
Just this week, there are thousands, potentially tens of thousands of people that have died in Libya from extreme flooding that is being driven by the climate crisis. And the climate crisis we know is being driven by the fossil fuel industry. And the fossil fuel industry cannot survive without the financial backing of banks like Citibank.
Thursday's action was part of a series of planned climate protests, including what's coming up Sunday, March to End Fossil Fuels here in New York City. That march is part of the larger global fight to end fossil fuels, which will see actions take place around the world. We'll have more on the planned events later in the broadcast. Federal prosecutors have indicted President Biden's son, Hunter Biden, on felony charges of illegally possessing a handgun and making false statements in order to obtain a revolver in 2018. The charges carry a maximum sentence of 25 years in prison and fines of up to $750,000. Special Counsel David Weiss brought the charges after a Trump-appointed federal judge in July rejected a deal that would have seen Hunter Biden plead guilty to two misdemeanor tax counts in order to escape more serious charges. It's the first time in U.S. history the Justice Department's criminally charged the child of a sitting president. We'll have more on Hunter Biden later in the broadcast. In Italy, the small island of Lampedusa is asking the Italian government for help after 7,000 asylum seekers arrived by boat over a two-day period this week and are living in precarious conditions. The island's population is typically just over 6,000 people. Arrivals in Spain's Canary Islands also tripled in the first half of the month. Racist rhetoric against black Africans by Tunisian President Kais Saied has helped drive the increase in asylum seekers hoping for a safer home in Europe. In related news, 40 survivors of a refugee shipwreck have filed a lawsuit accusing the Greek Coast Guard of deliberately neglecting to save passengers and likely causing their fishing boat to capsize when sailors attempted to tow the vessel. Hundreds of people perished in the June 14th tragedy. This is one survivor's account.
They put out a rope and pulled us. It had weight with a big number of people. They quickly pulled us and the boat capsized. It moved to the right, to the left, to the right, and it capsized. People started to fall on each other. It totally capsized. Because the people were on top of each other, people were screaming. People were drowning each other. It was nighttime and there were waves. It was scary.
In Wisconsin, the Republican-controlled state Senate voted Thursday to oust Megan Wolf, the state's top election official. Wisconsin's Democratic Attorney General, Josh Call, immediately filed a lawsuit seeking to block her ouster. The elections administrator position is a nonpartisan office, but after Donald Trump narrowly lost in Wisconsin to Joe Biden in 2020, Republicans and far-right interests began harassing Megan Wolf and spreading misinformation about election fraud. In more news from Wisconsin, Planned Parenthood will start performing abortions again next week in a major win for reproductive rights there. Following last year's overturning of Roe v. Wade at the U.S. Supreme Court, Wisconsin Republicans used an 1849 state law to justify an abortion ban, putting providers and patients in limbo. This is Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin President Tanya Atkinson.
The uncertainty about the enforceability of Wisconsin's 1849 abortion law has been devastating for Wisconsin women and people across the gender spectrum who need abortion care. A ruling by the Dane County Circuit Court in July made it clear that the 1849 law is not enforceable for voluntary abortions.
And on Capitol Hill, Democrats have introduced legislation to provide $16 billion in emergency child care funds annually for the next 5 years. This comes just 2 weeks before billions of dollars in pandemic-era funding for daycares is set to expire, potentially forcing tens of thousands of child care programs to shut down, impacting over 3 million children. Senator Patty Murray co-authored the bill.
We have a child care crisis in America, and that crisis could soon go from bad to worse as essential relief for the sector expires at the end of this month. So we are here today to sound the alarm and put forward a common sense solution. Before child care providers might have to close their doors, before kids lose their child care slots, and before parents face higher costs, or simply be forced to leave their jobs to take care of their kids.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
You know, I've been sort of thinking about, you know, hey, I haven't done this for quite a while. I need to get you people to support those who support Radio Free Kansas. I'll be real quick, but I mean, you know, hey, the Freedom From Religious stuff. Foundation is interesting, and here's the contact information for it. Of course, there's the website, ffrf.org. It seems to be overpowering everything, including the United States Postal Service, so let's go there. The Freedom From Religion Foundation is P.O. Box 750, Madison, Wisconsin, zip code 53701. I'll get your pencils out. I'll read it again. And here's a phone number you can call that will give you surely not an answering machine. Either way, talk. Here's the zip area code, 608-256-8900. And again, here's the mailing address for the Freedom From Religion Foundation, P.O. Box 750, Madison, Wisconsin, zip code 5370. It's a fine organization, and, you know, all you hardcore lefties out there could support it, too. Now, upcoming here is, this was loaded yesterday, September 14th. So this is the latest they've got.
This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine that.
This is a place on Free Thought Radio where we embrace the slogan, no gods, no masters, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute.
And I'm Dan Barker, co-host of Free Thought Radio. Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And this is the September 14th, 2023 episode of Free Thought Radio. Again, Grant Blaschka with Audio for the Arts is engineering the show in the Stephen Uhl Friendly Atheist Studio in Freethought Hall, the national office of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is in Madison, Wisconsin.
And Freethought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Emphasis on from. When we answer the phone around here, often people kind of go, freedom for religion? Hmm. No. Freedom From Religion Foundation, because that's what the Constitution gives us the right to advance, and also because the secular Constitution of the United States says we should have freedom from religion in government. So those are our two purposes. And if you're not a member, we would love to have you join us at ffrf.org, because we have lost crucial ground in the judiciary that is supposed to protect separation of state and church. So we need your help. At FFRF.org.
Freedom From Religion in government and in our personal lives. Many of the, or most of the members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation are atheists and agnostics and secular humanists and non-believers. Today, we're going to talk about a brave non-believer freethinker in Florida. We're going to talk about Florida's Don't Say Gay law by hearing a brave student who has challenged that law. Will Larkin talks about the struggles that he faces as a gay student in a state with a governor opposed to gay rights.
Today is the anniversary of the birth of Margaret Sanger, and she was born September 14, 1879, and she's the one who took an anarchy slogan, no God, no master. It was an old, often used slogan, and made it plural, which I prefer, no gods, no masters, and then she stuck that on the masthead of the Woman Rebel, which came out in 1914 to challenge the Comstock Act against contraception and discussion of almost anything to do with sex. And that was a very incredibly brave thing, and then he, of course, went after her. And so later on the show today, in honor of her birth, we will hear Dan's tribute song to Margaret Sanger called No Gods, No Masters.
We have a weekly, almost every week, a video show on Facebook Live called Ask an Atheist. And this week, the topic was the current state of the law regarding gender-affirming care and how it relates to religion. FFRF Associate Counsel Liz Cavell was joined on Ask an Atheist by FFRF's Equal Justice Works Fellow, Kat Grant, to discuss the state of the law.
Liz and Kat start the show by talking about a recent good court decision for a change, where the judge shot down the religious arguments.
First case we're going to talk about is Brandt versus Rutledge. This is a case about a gender-affirming care ban. Why don't you give us some background on the case and what movement have we seen?
Brandt v. Rutledge was back in June, and that was actually our first instance of a gender-affirming care ban being completely and totally struck down. This case had actually started back in 2021 when Arkansas first passed a gender-affirming care ban for minors. And most importantly, I think especially to those of us who are watching how this is connected to state-church separation, he really went through the state's witnesses and noticed that they had been recruited by our good friends over at the Alliance Defending Freedom.
Shot, I tell you.
Had no background in what the current standards of care for trans youth are. And right out the bat, Judge Moody said, you are clearly conflicted between what you know about medical science and what your faith is. You were recruited to speak on the basis of religious ideology and not the actual medical science. So your testimony is not credible. This is not something that should be considered when looking at this ban and whether or not it is permissible.
So we love to hear that. Very encouraging. Although Liz and Kat acknowledge that the courts are in flux. We've seen many bad decisions as well. And they're divided on this issue, which means they may go up to, you know who, the Supreme Court, which is not supreme in our eyes. All the more reason to be vigilant in keeping religion out of government, and you can watch that Ask an Atheist episode on our YouTube channel at FFRF. Look for the Ask an Atheist playlist.
And that airs almost every Wednesday at 12 noon Central on Facebook Live on FFRF's Facebook page, where you can ask questions during the show.
And on our TV show, Free Thought Matters, which has resumed its fall season in 13 cities, and it's also on YouTube. Our guest this week is Stanford professor Lerone A. Martin. He is author of this incredibly important book, came out just this year, The Gospel of J. Edgar Hoover, How the FBI Aided and Abetted the Rise of White Christian Nationalism. And you can get that book at fffrf.org/shop. Go to our shop if you want to order it.
It really is a fascinating read.
He did an amazing job.
And during the show, we asked Professor Martin to explain why he writes in the book that Hoover's FBI had a mission that was synonymous with white Christian nationalism.
For Hoover, that notion of Christianity was very much so centered upon certain ideas about society, that society should be led by the Ten Commandments. In fact, he believed that the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were founded upon the Ten Commandments. So he saw these founding documents as sacred. And he also believed that society was meant to be run by white men and solely by white men who were Christian. And he believed that all other races of people and all other genders were subordinate to white men and would have to always be led by white men. So with these factors, believing that America was founded as an explicit Christian nation and that the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bible were the founding documents, and his narrow understanding of how that played into race, all of this made Hoover a white Christian nationalist. And then he showed it by how he shaped his FBI.
You can watch that episode right now on our YouTube channel. Free Thought Matters playlist. We put them up every Thursday in advance of the broadcast on Sundays. And where can you see that, Dan?
Well, if you happen to live in one of the 13 major cities where Free Thought Matters is broadcast on local television, you can watch the show every Sunday morning.
Or Sunday evening in Madison.
Here in Madison, yes, Sunday evening. We call it the Unsermon if you're watching it on Sunday morning. For stations and times, you can check our website, ffrf.org/freethoughtmatters, or go to our website and look for the news drop-down. You'll find it there as well.
And there is a lot of news, of course, and we are barely going to scratch the surface this week. But Dan, why don't you start with what's going on with something that's called PragerU, but it ain't a university. It is a propaganda machine.
Well, Prager's, Dennis Prager started this so-called university, which is just videos that he produces.
It's not a university. It's not an institute. There are no degrees. This is phony. This is almost fraudulent.
But in Florida, and now it looks like also in Oklahoma, these programs of his are being introduced within the schools. First, Florida brought in another group called Hillsdale College, ultra-conservative college.
Out of Michigan.
And now they're approving of teachers supplementing their lessons in the schools with these online videos by PragerU. It's very high-quality production videos and very garbage-quality content. And in Oklahoma, the superintendent of public instruction there, Ryan Walters, announced that he's going to have a partnership with PragerU Kids.
Yeah, he every week he does another terrible Christian nationalist kind of announcement about what he's going to do to dismantle secular public education, and this was his latest salvo.
He downplays slavery and climate change. He claims that the gender wage gap is a myth. He rails against immigrants and feminism. So really, it is a religiously motivated program that's being put into the school.
Yeah, why don't you talk a little bit more about, it's really a glorified YouTube channel. And what are they doing in Florida, Dan?
Well, they're offering a video providing misinformation on state church separation. And this was delivered by the disgraced former law professor John Eastman, who was recently co-conspirator number two in Trump's indictment for trying to overturn the results of the presidential election. Eastman repeats this tired old argument that since the exact phrase separation of church and state is not in the Constitution, then the founders...
Literally,
although the concept is, he says the founding fathers never intended for church and state to be completely separate. So these are myth videos.
And he also goes on to say in this video they want to show to public school students that the founders saw religion, specifically religions based on the Bible, as indispensable. So really nonsensical stuff, but deeply dismaying that we are going to have propaganda instead of instruction. And these are in states where the governors keep saying we shouldn't have indoctrination. They're talking about on gender. We should have only education. But what they really want is religious indoctrination.
Up into Idaho, our attorney Chris Lyne wrote a letter to the Community Library Network Board of Trustees Chair Rachel Otteson, who wants to close all libraries on Sundays. And she says this because this will honor the Lord. People work on Sunday is actually a detriment to our society.
Well, she actually calls it the Sabbath,
yeah,
which is biblical.
Right, and so... it turns out he wrote this letter a few months ago, but it turns out that they actually voted in late August to close all libraries on Sundays, and also they're considering disaffiliating from the American Library Association because the ALA supposedly has a clear animosity and resentment toward the family and traditional religious values. That's up in the state of Idaho.
Yeah, so this might be something where we get some complaints about people not being able to go to the library. This might be a possible lawsuit we could take, so let us know. And in other news, we want to point out that Trump-appointed judges have needlessly injected the Bible verse into, believe it or not, a class action suit that had nothing to do with religion. And these are both justices sitting on the arch-conservative 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. We're going to talk a little bit about that again in the second segment. They were unnecessarily citing a verse from the Christian New Testament, and then one even added a pious declaration of belief in God. And this was a class action suit about defective software, which, you know, makes no sense. And Judge James Ho, who is an ardent anti-abortionist, we're going to talk about that. We talked about Matthew 7:7, seek and ye shall find, and which was totally gratuitous. And then, not to be outdone by this religious showboating, a dissenting judge, Judge Andrew Oldham, countered by talking even more about it and about how God gives us hope and faith. And, you know, this might seem a little gratuitous or benign, nothing to worry about, but this is a growing trend we're seeing in court rulings because so many of our federal judiciary were appointed by Trump. It was a third at the time he left office, and fortunately Biden has been helping to balance it, but of course we're stuck with these judges for life, and they are ideologues.
Well, Alden was saying that the plaintiffs don't have standing because if you seek, you will find, but since this was a shell company, they will seek and not find. So he's using the Bible to argue against standing.
Right, a citation is preposterous. And then, speaking of preposterous, we keep seeing baptisms in public schools of student athletes. And we have very firmly told the Charlotte County Public Schools in Florida to quit baptizing athletes and to stop promoting religion in their high school football program. And there's two of them in the high school football program. One is called a team chaplain. And then there's somebody who's the lead pastor at a church who's the assistant coach. And they're engaging in regular religious exercises and prayer. And then there are photographs. You can see them on our website. If you go to our news link at fffrf.org and look for this press release under the news releases, you can see photographs of this primitive, preposterous, full-body baptisms in a lake of athletes. And they are bragging about baptizing 13 athletes. Well, actually, I think it's 21. And now at this point, so we have told them to cease and desist. And I have to say, when we started FFRF about 45 years ago, Dan, we did not see baptisms in of football teams. Things have gotten crazier. There's always been a fundamentalist streak with football, but this is sort of out of control.
Now over to Alabama, Chris Line, FFRF attorney, sent a letter to Sneed State Community College admonishing them not to impose religion. The president there, Joe Whitmore, has been imposing his beliefs on employees and he's been treating this public college like it's a Christian college. They have prayer before meals and at staff events. He presents a guiding Bible verse for the staff. And so we've received a complaint from people at the school who are saying they feel very uncomfortable with religion being pushed upon them in that public school.
And we have a couple of victories, but we'll have to report them next week. So these complaint letters that we do on behalf of you, the public, and our members really pay off. It pays to complain.
After the break, we're going to hear some more news about abortion especially, and then about Coach Kennedy. Then we'll hear the brave, free-thinking high school student, Will Larkins, who is challenging Florida's Don't Say Gay law. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Julia Sweeney, and I'm an atheist and former Catholic. I even wrote a play about it called Letting Go of God. Right now, Catholic bishops are using their considerable influence to deny women contraceptive rights. Please join the Freedom From Religion Foundation and help keep church and state separate. You can call 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit ffrf.org to stand up for true religious freedom.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. And Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and we are also married. And in the evening, we sometimes have been watching this TV series called Ray Donovan.
Which goes on forever.
Very kind of amoral.
Violent.
Amoral series.
Yeah, one of those kind of Breaking Bad kind of series about very ambivalent actions.
And one of the featured actors in there is John Voight, who plays this totally, what would you call him, immoral.
Yeah, he's a petty criminal, except some of his crime is not petty.
Huh.
He's almost a Trumpian character, the way he acts and looks.
Well, so last week on September the 5th, he was on television. Rob Schmidt of the Rob Schmidt Tonight Show on Newsmax did a segment about Hollywood's attack on Judeo-Christian values. And he interviewed John Voight to make the case that Christianity is indeed under attack in the entertainment industry.
Academy Award-winning actor John Voight has been a great voice of reason. Sir, it's good to have you back on the show. You know, much of this cultural rot comes from where you live in Southern California in the business that you're in.
In the time of my life, I've seen an enormous change in this country, and it's all been quite disturbing. The Congressional Record of 1963, the agenda of the KGB was listed as we're going to divide the citizens of the United States, take God out of the schools, and divide the country by race and age and gender. And they certainly have accomplished this in this rather short period of time. What is Marxism based on? It's certainly not God.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of atheism that's coming forth, and now we have an amazing appearance of Satan in our community now.
Amazing. He's got the appearance of Satan. Well, it is very ironic because, he's playing this character when he talks about rot and garbage.
Well, but notice
he's getting paid for it.
Notice he's repeating the old lie that atheism is somehow connected with Satanism. You know, we might say if anyone's attacking so-called Christian values or moral values, it would be Voight's character that he plays. His name is Mickey on that show on the Ray Donovan series.
I'd say there's one connection that we can make to Ray Donovan, which is that the underlying theme is that two of these Donovan boys were so damaged by having been sexually assaulted for years by a priest, the same priest, when they were growing up in Boston. And this is the overarching theme.
Yeah.
And Mickey, the character that he portrayed, John Voight, did not protect his boys. So to move on to other things, we do want to mention the irony, predictable irony, of the fact that praying coach Joe Kennedy, we talked about him last week, won the Bremerton court case before the Supreme Court that was really a false narrative, played at one game and then quit. And now there's a whole bunch of rumblings where he's trying to portray himself as a victim because he's been criticized for being a phony plaintiff. He had moved out of state, really didn't have standing to sue, but he came back for one game and then quit, and we'll see what happens. I hope that this won't be more litigation.
Well, he's
portraying to be a victim.
Never wanted to be a coach in the first place, according to his own writing.
Yes, he just wanted to proselytize football players. And then there are some promising abortion developments here in the state of Wisconsin, which is FFRF's home state, which is that just today, Planned Parenthood announced it's going to reopen its two clinics, reopen doing abortion care at its two clinics, one in Madison and one in Milwaukee. Those had closed within a minute of the Dobbs ruling coming down last June in 2022, and it's wonderful to see them reopen. There was a court ruling this summer saying that the so-called abortion ban, it's a pre-Civil War draconian ban as interpreted, wasn't even a ban of abortion, that it was only a ban. It was only saying that doing something criminal to a pregnant woman, such as pushing her and causing a miscarriage, was something that was outlawed, but not her seeking abortion care. And so they got their doctors in order, and now they're reopening, and this is wonderful news for so many disenfranchised women and pregnant people in the state of Wisconsin. So,
Well, didn't that law say that that it was dealing with an involuntary harm to the woman?
This is what the court, the county court said. It's still being appealed, of course, and it's going to go up to our state Supreme Court, where we had a change in composition, and Janet Protasiewicz, who is pro-choice, is now under threat of impeachment by Republican leadership. They want to keep that ban. They want to keep the gerrymandering. And it's we have a statement going out from our C4 group today about the hypocrisy of that, because so many of the justices on the Supreme Court have made other very open comments about things that go before the court, and nobody's asking for them to recuse themselves.
Well, I think the point in that lawsuit was that the law had nothing to do with a voluntary termination of a pregnancy.
Well, this is what the court ruled, yes, and we hope that that will be sustained. And so finally, abortion is available again in our state, so a huge victory to celebrate.
So we're going to take a break, and after the break, Will Larkins, who's a brave, free-thinking high school student, is protesting Florida's Don't Say Gay Bill. We'll hear his remarks accepting the Katherine Feringer Student Activist Award. We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Steve Pinker. In my book, Enlightenment Now, I show that the world has become a better place as reason has been overcoming superstition and tribalism. But the values of the Enlightenment are under attack. That's why I'm a proud member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest association of free thinkers working to keep state and church separate. Please join me in supporting the Freedom From Religion Foundation to ensure that our government is driven not by religion, but by reason.
Speaking freely, thinking freely. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Welcome back. Undoubtedly, you've heard about Florida's 2022 controversial parental rights in education law, also known as the Don't Say Gay Bill. It outright prohibits or seeks to inhibit public schools from discussing or teaching about sexual orientation and gender identity. And you may have seen last year how a 17-year-old Florida student, Will Larkins, spoke out against the harmful effects of this bill before his Florida state legislature, and he also coordinated a walkout of 500 students from his high school. He had help from a friend. And then Will Larkins wrote an op-ed that appeared in the New York Times.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation was proud to name Will Larkins our Katherine Feringer Student Activist Awardee, which carries a $5,000 scholarship. When Will Larkins came to our 2022 convention to accept the award, he was a junior at Winter Park High. He was the president and co-founder of the school's queer student union and one of the organizers, of course, of its Say Gay Anyway walkout. And he was an amazing young man.
And here is Will Larkins' acceptance speech, introduced by Annie Laurie.
Now, I get a really fun job. I am going to introduce our student activist awardees today. And it's a special pleasure. They are both young, free-thinking activists working to keep religion out of our public schools and social policy, and both have made international headlines last spring in organizing high-profile walkouts at their respective high schools. Both are receiving $5,000 scholarships from FFRF, and Dan and I enjoyed the opportunity of interviewing both of them remotely for our TV show, but we are extra excited to meet them in person here. It's a thrill to see this level of activism, and I'm going to introduce them one at a time. And first, we will hear from Will Larkins. He led a walkout of 500 students against Florida's Don't Say Gay law at Winter Park High School. It was called Say Gay Anyway. He also testified in person before the Florida legislature to try to stop this punitive measure by Governor DeSantis. His moving guest essay, which we did reprint in Free Thought Today, titled Florida's Don't Say Gay Bill Will Hurt Teens Like Me, was published in the New York Times in March. Since then, Will has been in constant demand. He's 17 and he's a high school student, but he's been on the road to speak to media and groups. I even recently turned on PBS NewsHour. There was the poised Will in person in the studio, and he has a full schedule after this conference. He is an atheist, naturally, and he is president and co-founder of the school's Queer Student Union. He's a rising senior. Please welcome the 2022 Katherine Feringer Student Activist Awardee, Will Larkins.
Thank you.
Oh my God, I forgot my cowboy hat. That's so upsetting. I have a pink cowboy hat over there, and I was going to walk up and be like, howdy, y'all, I'm in Texas, I'm ready to mess with it, but I forgot it, but that's fine. Hi, guys. So, my name is Will Larkins. I use any pronouns with respect. I'm a 17-year-old senior in high school from Winter Park, Florida. I'm one of the student leaders fighting Florida's Don't Say Gay Bill, and I'm a plaintiff in a lawsuit challenging the law. I've spent the last 6 months focusing on my high school classes while simultaneously advocating for the LGBTQ+ community. I was in biology honors when I found out my op-ed was published in the New York Times. I missed junior prom because I was speaking at Harvard Law School. And last month, I was working on college applications in Washington, D.C. in between meetings with legislators and with the White House. The first time I said I was non-binary out loud was on the floor of the Florida State Senate. I was thrown into activism and advocacy out of survival. Being outwardly gay and non-binary, I faced bullying, discrimination, harassment, and threats to my safety almost my entire life. Being filmed at lunch, threatened in school bathrooms, and getting called slurs in the hallway is a daily occurrence for me at Winter Park High School. Go Wildcats. It's not uncommon that these bullies bring up scripture after telling me to kill myself or calling me a slur. I reported everything I experienced to my administration and was met with only victim blaming and homophobia. A year ago, in October 2021, my friend group and I attended a Halloween party, actually a year ago exactly today, and we were surrounded with a group of guys from my school. They hurled vile, unrepeatable, awful insults at us. We were compared to pedophiles, had our appearances insulted, and were told that we were going to hell. Yeah, we were the ones in this situation going to hell, okay. Then we were told that if we did not leave, we would be beat up. The school took no action, so we formed the Queer Student Union with the goal of protecting and empowering students at Winter Park High School to make sure that they don't have to deal with the same hate that I did. We went on to lead the biggest walkout in Florida. At 9 a.m. on March 7th, 2022, 500 students walked out of class chanting, "We Say Gay and Trans Lives Matter." I stood in front of the same school that had broken me down so badly that last winter I almost ended my life and led a protest of hundreds. Hit it, Bruce. I think the most beautiful part of this walkout was that previous to it, being queer at Winter Park, we felt like we were the minorities, that the hateful people were the majority. But this proved to us that we were the majority, we just weren't being loud enough. There was a cultural shift at Winter Park High School after this. We're living in an unusual time in history. For the first time ever, LGBTQ+ people are mainstream and people in mass are questioning the legitimacy of religion. It's been strange growing up seeing my classmates, family, and friends become addicted to their phones while watching every generation develop a different relationship with social media. For the first time ever, the average citizen is exposed to people, cultures, and lifestyles across the planet, while at the same time, algorithms are putting people in echo chambers and allowing them to be radicalized by disinformation. But these technologies of mass communication are the vessels that Gen Z will use to change the way that the world works. From an early age, I knew I was different. I was not interested in the things other boys my age did, and I did not feel comfortable in the clothes my parents bought me. The struggle for acceptance was not just internal, though. It also felt as if my classmates didn't know what to make of me. And by fourth grade, I was fully convinced that I was broken, which is something no fourth grader should have to deal with, but is pretty normal for the queer community. I didn't know how to defend myself when other kids made hateful comments or bullied me. I didn't know why I was the way that I was, and without the vocabulary to articulate why I felt and acted like this, I assumed what they said about me was true. Most of the bullying I've faced over my lifetime has been disguised under the false pretense of religious love. It's frankly disturbing how many times people have called me faggot or told me there was something wrong with me and then followed it up by, oh, no, 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 it's just my belief. Okay, or I'm trying to help you. In no way was making me feel unsafe in my school, in my community, and bullying me to the brink of near suicide helpful. No. Religion gives these people an out. I vividly remember visiting St. Augustine in middle school and having an adult man approach me and tell me that I was sick and could be saved. Adults affirming the idea that queer young people are broken causes irreparable damage and scars that will never fully mend. You know, I feel for these people, though. I mean, being religious kind of sucks. Living with hate in your heart isn't easy. Okay, I have a story to tell you guys. This past July, I attended a rally in downtown Orlando for LGBTQ rights. I was wearing a really cute skirt, some like glitter, some fun makeup. You know, I look cute. And a Christian woman and counter-protester walked up to me, and I kid you not, started crying. She literally got down on her knees, like praying and muttering about how the world's ending and like tears rolling down her face. Imagine living a life where you see a cute, like fun, like queer person like in public and you cause yourself so much distress you break down crying on the floor. That sucks for her way more than it sucks for me. Religion served its purpose. It gave humanity an explanation for existence and consciousness, but now we have modern science, and that's shown us that we just don't know what life is. Like, we're just all here, we're humans, that's weird. Death exists, that's also weird, and we just don't know what that means, and we should accept that. Religion takes away our ability and our right to explore spirituality by our own volition. Now, religion is a tool used by fascists like Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida and Texas Governor Greg Abbott to uphold systems of oppression, reinforce the heteropatriarchy, and target LGBTQ+ children. Here's a fun fact for you. Queer teens are 4 times more likely to die by suicide than their straight counterparts, and Florida has the highest rate of LGBTQ suicide of any state in the U.S. Queer people make up 40% of the teen homeless population while only making up 5% of the general population. This is a direct result of Christian and Muslim religious dogma. As the president of the Winter Park High School Queer Student Union, I frequently meet queer students who cannot be themselves at home because their religious parents would become angry, abusive, and even kick them out and force them into homelessness. In fact, last year I had a friend and a member of Queer Student Union who was outed as trans to his family, who promptly threw him out because their own child's existence goes against something they chose to believe. We can't let this normalized abuse continue. So I just wanted to say thank you all. Thank you all for working so hard to dismantle belief systems created to harm us. Thank you for being on the front lines of this fight for our right to free thought. Thank you, Annie Laurie, and everyone at Freedom From Religion Foundation for the scholarship, the invitation to speak, and the absolutely vital and indispensable work many of you do. Together, we will create a world free from the grips of religion, a world where no child will ever have to fear God because they were born queer, a world where true equality reigns. Let's come together and create a world driven not by religion, not by politics, but by peace and by love for one another. Thank you all, and I love you all.
And that was the amazing Will Larkin, just a junior at that time, accepting FFRF's Catherine Faringer Student Activist Award at our convention last fall in San Antonio and throughout last year. And this year, Will has been campaigning around the country in demand as a speaker and activist. It's upended his or their high school career, And unfortunately, since that convention, it's been out of the frying pan and into the fire for this Don't Say Gay law, because it was amended this year to apply to many older students and even included things like if you go into the what they call the wrong restroom. If you're a transgender person in Florida and you go into a restroom that doesn't represent your sex as assigned at birth, you can be arrested. And this is one of the reasons why the Human Rights Campaign and the NAACP have called Florida a state where you should not, a travel advisory for both black people and transgender people. And there have been some other bad laws that have been passed. Of course, in Florida, it's a ground zero state for book bans and all kinds of other hostilities about teaching about slavery and racial equality, and especially going after transgender kids. Judy Bloom also spoke out because their new law wouldn't even allow you to mention menstruation before sixth grade. So bad things there.
So we're taking one last break, and when we come back, we're going to honor Margaret Sanger with a song called No Gods, No Masters. We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate, just like our founding fathers intended. Please support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And as we mentioned earlier, today is the anniversary of the birth of Margaret Sanger, born September 14th, 1879. Dan, at the request of my mother, who is also a birth control crusader, you wrote a song to honor Margaret Sanger. The title, No Gods, No Masters, from that motto that appeared on her famous newsletter, The Woman Rebel. Let's listen.
Margaret Sanger, reproductive freedom was her goal. She said, no gods, no masters. She fought to let each woman take control. Powerful enemies tried to keep this flaming redhead in her place. When they couldn't talk her out, they tried to lock her out. Margaret Sanger never was the type to be deterred. A woman rebel, no matter what the cost, she would be heard. Spreading knowledge, she freed the poor and needy from their fate. Those who detested her came and arrested her. Margaret Sanger looked at women's lives and heard their voices. She knew the difference between repressive laws and moral choices. Because of her efforts, birth control became a household option. But those who hated her, those who hated her, the church leaders, the religious lawmakers, they did everything in their power to stop this uppity woman who defied medieval dogma to its face. They harassed her. They locked her doors. They stormed her clinics. They censored her writings. They arrested her many times and threw her in jail. They forced her to flee the country. And when Margaret Sanger died, they said, "Finally, we can get this country back to traditional values now that this troublemaker is out of the way." The movement she began cannot be killed. We've tasted freedom. The voice that cries for choice cannot be stilled. Those powerful enemies are sulking on the sidelines of her victory. The woman of the century, the heroine of history. She said, "No God, no master, no pope, no pastor. Think for yourself. No more dictators. Resist those woman haters and decide for yourself. No God, no master, no pope, no pastor. Think for yourself. No more dictators. Resist those woman haters and decide for yourself. No God, no master, no pope, no pastor. Think for yourself. No more dictators. Resist those woman haters and decide for yourself. No God, no master, no pope, no pastor. Think for yourself.
So that was recorded long before we had the Dobbs decision, and boy, predictive. Resist those woman haters. That was Dan Barker's song, No Gods, No Masters, honoring the life and work of Margaret Sanger, which we must continue.
That's our show for today. We want to thank listeners in Philadelphia and Bryn Mawr to WOOM and WZML in Pennsylvania, to WIDWMUU in Madison, Wisconsin, WADR in